What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 15th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes, a.k.a. the pure one, a.k.a. the best dressed alive man in the world, yes. A.k.a. the last Jedi.
Let's him host.
Toss that last one in there to try to take you out, take the wind out of your sails a bit.
Trying to be positive.
Reviews up, youtube.com/kindafunny. It is the final Kinda Funny Games Daily. Woo. Of 2017, everybody.
We've Congratulations, made it this
far. Greg. Thank you. To celebrate, I thought we would read our annual Christmas card from Adam Wells. You remember these? Usually we do them, I think, on Game Over Greggy, maybe Gamescast or whatever. We forgot to do it on the final Game Over Greggies, and we were so far ahead, we thought we would read them here. So Adam Wells is a fan, a best friend just like yourself.
Can you show
your camera? Huh? Oh, use my camera? Sorry. A kind of funny best friend just like yourself. Every year he sends us holiday cards that are usually just about his consoles, but now a woman has appeared in his card. Says, Happy Holidays from the Wells PlayStation, Sega, Xbox family, plus one Switch. 2017 has certainly been an eventful. He fucked this up already. 2017 has certainly been an eventful for my ever-growing family. This year, I married Ashley on May 28th, and it was a joyous day. Shortly after our wedding, we welcomed a Nintendo Switch to join our console family. Ashley also brings a cat named Sashimi, and as you can see, she has taken quite well to her console siblings. Show my camera again, there, Kev.
Give me a second.
Okay, there it is. Oh, sorry. See the cat there hanging out with all the consoles, being cute.
I love you, Adam. I love you so much.
We have his other cards behind you.
As for PlayStation 4, they have been finding new horizons every day at dawn. See what he did there? Xbox One has been spending an inordinate amount of time in the kitchen, going through many cups and mugs. Cuphead. PlayStation 3 has been off in Japan finding a new Persona. Why the fuck are you playing Persona 5 on PlayStation 3? We have been busy with our new Switch, taking on Odysseys and going outside in the wild to breathe fresh air. The Switch certainly is our little bundle of Joy-Cons. We hope your family is enjoying this season of joy as much as we are, and wish you and yours a happy new year. Congratulations, Adam. I'm glad somebody is attracted to your special brand of insanity.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Can I get my one? My favorite thing about this, I'm trying to find the focus point, is
it's back towards your face.
The Joy-Cons are Christmas themed.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Well, I like it. Turn it around. I also like the Diary of a Madman hand scribble that Adam Wells has there.
That looks like my handwriting. That's a problem.
Sorry. We can't see it.
No problem.
It's real bad.
It's bad handwriting, everybody.
Thank you, Adam Wells. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you
and your beautiful family.
And Sashimi and all your consoles.
And the consoles.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, this is the final Kinda Funny Games Daily of 2017, but not fret not. Kinda Funny Games Cast continues to post alongside Party Mode on youtube.com/kindafunnygames while we take 2 weeks off, and over on youtube.com/kindafunny, so does the Game Over Greggy Show. I think there's going to be a vlog, and there's also going to be a Secret Santa video if the person I'm sending my Secret Santa stuff to doesn't screw it up. So if you get a box and it says start, watch this video and start filming yourself, that's what's happening. Also need to tell you for housekeeping that today we're brought to you by Lisa.com and Omaha Steaks, but you probably guessed that because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before giving you our own brand of criticism, perspective, answering your questions, jumping into your bad PSN names, reading whatever you send in to kindafunny.com/KFGD. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, like you can, you have a job. Let's go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you so much for supporting it in its first year. Thank you for all the support you've done for Kinda Funny, Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's been amazing. If you want to go a little bit further, it'd be great to go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Kick us a few bucks. They canceled those service charges. But if you can just subscribe to youtube.com/kindafunnygames, that's as good as anything. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
The eye contact.
Well, me like and Kevin had a thing.
Like a shark.
Kevin and I got a thing going on over here. It could be the kegerator fueling us, but we got a thing going on our final day here.
So
Kevin?
Drunk.
Two items on the Roper Report.
He's not even trying anymore.
It's not me. I'm not going to generate the news. I don't generate the news.
He's not even trying.
I don't control what comes out of my mouth.
Why do you have to mention Cuphead? Now I just want to play Cuphead.
You already beat Cuphead.
I know, but I just want to play it more. I want more. I want DLC. I just want Cuphead 2.
Yeah.
And I want it now. Great.
The Cuphead-ing?
I don't want it in 10 years. I want it now.
It won't take 10 years to get Cuphead 2. Xbox is probably on them right away, tossing the money at them, getting them out there, getting them to do
anything. Cuphead's the type of game that money doesn't solve those problems necessarily. There's a lot of art, animation, and just more animators isn't the answer.
Yeah, it is. Get them in there.
All right.
Speaking of Xbox One exclusives, Greg Way, number one on the Roper Report, PUBG on Xbox has more than 1 million players already in the first 48 hours. Congratulations. Who would have called it? Everybody.
Everyone.
I
called it.
I was all excited to turn on my Xbox One to jump in there and play some of this. Quite the number that Xbox is out there touting, especially yesterday we mentioned on the show that far from scientific, leaderboards had it at just under 500,000 people on the leaderboards. Mm. Obviously, multiple people playing, mm-hmm. things going on. Maybe that's not representative. That's just what we can see publicly. Mm. Xbox getting out there and saying more than 1 million players in the first 48 hours is pretty impressive. They continue in their press release. Today, in celebration of PUBG coming to the hottest console of the season, we're excited to announce a special holiday promotion where every Xbox One X purchase will come with a copy of PUBG. That means you can join in on the on gaming's biggest phenomenon and jump right into the ultimate battle royale experience on Xbox One. The promotion is available in select regions for a limited time, starting December 17th through December 31st.
Mm.
A good move, very smart. Probably should have put out like on the box. Probably should have put it, you know, from the launch, just slam it on the box.
Yeah,
but put it on the wasn't box. Ready then.
Yeah,
but it's on the box.
Now it is.
Yeah. Are you going to play some PUBG over a break?
I'm excited to. I had the same issue Kevin did in that I didn't realize I don't have an Xbox Live Gold account.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't either until I turned it on and it. I knew mine had lapsed, but I was waiting for whatever game was going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, mine has lapsed too. I had one at one point.
No, I'm saying that's.
I guess Halo 3 might have been the end of that. I don't think I've played an Xbox multiplayer game since then. I've stayed offline or just done the Xbox Live Silver.
Whatever stuff. It is, yeah.
Whatever the one is, you can just, like, you know, use the internet
and
like, buy stuff and all that. But I have a bunch of those cards that are like, oh, get a couple month trial, whatever.
Sure.
So I should be fine.
Cool. So you're going to do it?
Yeah. I'm very excited about it. I'm waiting. I'm here not to get ahead of this, but I'm going to read the next thing, Greg. PUBG PSA. Turn off game DVR / game capture for more stable frames per second. That comes from r/PUBG Xbox One.
Correct.
I'm trying to wait for all these types of hints and clues on how to make the game run better because I'm not hearing anything that I'm liking about it.
At that point, you can just wait till a month if that's what you're waiting for. I mean, they're going to patch it as they go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even a couple days will make a big difference.
Sure.
It sounds like it was a disaster when it launched. No. Really?
It's the internet and gaming wanting to be that kind of people. I jumped on, like I've talked about on the show with Gary yesterday, I jumped on night and I was totally expecting it not to run, not to do whatever. I jumped into my game. I was like, oof, a lot of textures missing here. Jumped in the plane. I was like, ooh, okay. But as soon as I jumped out of that plane, it was like, oh, fuck, that guy's going to the building. I'm going to. Oh, but I played like five or six games.
Hmm.
And don't get me wrong. They're not as pretty as PC. And I don't have the draw distance of PC.
That bothers me, though, especially because you're playing on X.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
So I get that it's early access. I get all that shit. No date for the Xbox full release bothers me.
Well, it took them forever to put a full release date window, right, for Xbox, PUBG on PC. Meanwhile, second story is NPD for November 2017. This is via Game Informer. The PlayStation 4 sold the most units last month, likely due to its $199 Black Friday pricing. Microsoft took the lead in terms of revenue of consoles sold due to the more expensive Xbox One, selling quite well on its own. Nintendo Switch sold somewhere around 1 million units, but had no bundles or sale prices of any kind.
Interesting. So NPD doesn't take revenue into consideration. They're just saying that based on sheer facts, right? Of people can do math.
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, okay. Because there's no like actual revenue chart.
From what I understand, it's been a while. Because IGN, when we were there, I don't even know when you were there. We used to get the full NPD report. Then they jacked up the price for it and we opted out of it or something. So we started getting a less than... Because it used to be, it told you down to like, you know, it'd be like Call of Duty World War II is the number one game, right? The report you get goes down to like how many exact copies were sold.
Interesting.
In that, like, that's it gave cool you a lot of real data. Because, yeah, there used to be a game we'd play over in guides of over under, like try to predict how many units this game sold. I'm not sure what it is anymore. So I have no idea if you go, by the way, that's a siren. It's a siren going by. Somebody wrote in 2 days ago or yesterday. It was like, hey, from now on, if a siren goes by, can you let us know so I don't pull over in real life? I'm like, nope, that's a siren in our world, not yours.
In our world.
So I don't know anymore what you actually see on the other end. Hmm. But I can tell you, these are the top 10 games. Call of Duty World War II, Star Wars Battlefront 2 2017, Assassin's Creed Origins, NBA 2K18, NFL 18, Super Mario Odyssey, that does not include digital downloads, FIFA 18, Need for Speed Payback, Destiny 2, Pokemon Ultra Sun, followed by Pokemon Ultra Moon, but again, those don't include downloads either. You surprised that Battlefront's at number two?
So I was reading a long report on Reset Era about Battlefront 2 selling 50% of what Battlefront 1 did 2 years ago. So that does kind of shock me, but game sales are kind of just weird all over the place now. Things change over time, and Battlefront 1 did sell very well.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of those situations where it's kind of like when we talk about Xbox One and PS4. It's not like the Xbox One is performing poorly. It's sure. just not winning.
And it's not that really runaway matter. Success thing.
These, I mean, it's selling better than all these other games. That's very impressive. You know, all the Nintendo ones don't include digital, and that probably accounts for a lot when you're talking about the Pokemon titles and Mario Odyssey. But yeah, that's great. Call of Duty World War II selling as well as it is. It's just crazy where I feel that the gaming industry wants to write Call of Duty off year after year, and just they're just like, nah, bro. Like, well, we're I feel still like here. Get used to it.
To that point, I feel like it's the same for Star Wars and Call of Duty, right? Where I think we can hem and haw and bitch and moan about microtransactions and how they're doing this to the cows come home. We can say that Call of Duty isn't the cultural phenomenon it was, you know, 5 years ago.
For days.
But that doesn't matter to the general consumer. When we get outside of the people who listen to Kinda Funny Games Daily, the people who are going to go on Reset Era, the people who are going to visit IGN every day, you realize how much bigger gaming is. And there are people who just buy the stuff because they see the trailer and they think it looks cool and they see it's advertised during the game they're watching and they're fine with that.
I mean, I wonder where Battlefront 2 hits next month. That's going to be very interesting to me. Like, because you're right, that there is, you can't watch a mainstream TV channel without seeing Battlefront 2 commercials.
Especially with the movie now, right?
So, yeah.
Like, there's more
than that. Yeah, now they're more than ever. So
when was it? Jesus,
the single player DLC?
No. That just happened yesterday. But what was the release date for Battlefront?
November 17th.
November 17th. Okay.
That's also key information here.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing I lose because Call of Duty was when? That was the week before. That was the second week or whatever it was. Interesting. But yeah. Star Wars is still Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefront is still Battlefront. People know that and connect with it. Jumping beyond the top 10 for things to call out, Shadow of War was at 12. Grand Theft Auto 5, of course, was at 13. It won't go away. Zelda was at 15. Mario Kart 8 at 16. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus at 17. South Park, Fractured But Whole at 18. So.
The Switch, man.
Wow. Still killing it.
The fact that all of the main key games and like Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart 8 still being in this conversation, still being on this list, and probably will be for a long time coming. I mean, Mario Kart always has those legs.
Yeah.
Zelda doesn't typically. So this is good news for them. And if the Switch keeps, if they keep adding to this, I wouldn't be surprised if we see this list get even more dominated by Nintendo as time goes on.
You think so?
On the back end, the 10 to 20.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Because I feel like the push here for both Zelda and Mario Kart is going to be the fact that, all right, cool, it's Black Friday, it's holiday shopping.
Yeah.
You're going out and you're buying these things your kid wants. And I think you'll still see that in December. It'll be interesting in January where that stuff shakes out, but you figure even then, cool, you got it on the 25th, you've been enjoying the one game that came with it, now you're motivated to go buy it
back more. It's going to be interesting, like looking forward, or even looking at the top parts, it's like, it's all the heavy hitters with the sports games and stuff. Need for Speed Payback, I'm very surprised to see that as high as it is, because by all accounts, that game was trash.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, the marketing works. You know, put the commercial for a thing, and people are going to be like, all
right,
cool.
Brand recognition too, right? People know Need for Speed, they know what that means. Interesting. Only two items, like I said. You can tell it's the Friday before our break, which is usually the Friday before everybody's break. Now, Tim, you know that I'm excited for, we'll just say Valkyria Chronicles 4, but that's still a long ways away.
It is.
If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Nice job. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Sorry, Kev. Couldn't wait for you today. It's okay. Unepic comes to Switch. Romancing Saga 2 comes to PlayStation 4 and Vita. Lost Grimoires 2 Shard of Mystery comes to Xbox One.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Circuits comes to Xbox One. Future War Reborn comes to Xbox One. Hammerwatch comes to Xbox One. It's Quiz Time comes to Xbox One. Ultimate Chicken Horse comes to Xbox
Ultimate
One.
Ultimate Chicken Horse is awesome.
Yeah. Did you know that was already out on PlayStation?
Didn't it come out like 2 weeks ago?
I don't know.
We covered it on Games Daily.
Oh, when I wasn't here? That explains why I don't know. Yeah. But I got a code for the expansion. I was like, wait, how long has the real game been out? Where? Omega Quintet on PC.
This one's for Kevin.
Star Wars The Last Jedi Porg Invasion is on your mobile device, Kevin. It's Chewie having to fight off a bunch of Porgs. It's exactly what you want. Porgs, Kevin. They're here. We love you. New dates for you. Beholder is coming to Xbox One on January 19th, 2018. And then Adventure Time Pirates.
Go for it, Greg.
Say Enchiridion.
Enchilada.
Enchiridion comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on someday in 2018. They don't have a full date for that one yet. Mm-hmm. Deals of the day. I got a few things for you, everybody. I put it on myself. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let Rattle kick it off for you.
Rattle.
He wrote it in. To kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, deal of the holiday. The Hitman holiday pack is free starting today. This includes the previously free intro missions, but more importantly, the entire first episode, Paris, and all of the features and content for that map that they have added over the last year. This includes the main story mission, bonus holiday mission, complete with Santa suit unlock, 100 plus challenges, mastery system and unlocks, several escalation contracts, player made contracts, professional difficulty mode, trophies, and future elusive targets as part of the elusive target reactivation that started last month. This is the first real giant sandbox level, and I've personally spent many, many hours with it. It is only free until January 5th, so if you have not played Hitman yet, now is a great time to give it a try. Thank you, Rattle. All over it, you know what I mean? Jumping right in there, being a big part of it. Then also, Injustice 2 has a free weekend going from December 14th to December 18th on both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Did you ever play Injustice 2?
I actually just made a note to myself to say, get Injustice 2.
Yeah?
I want to play it. I want to beat the story mode over the break.
It's been sitting there since launch on my thing. I see it, and I'm just never in the mood to do the fighting.
I owe it to that game. That game.
I loved Injustice 1.
In a year where fighting games fucked up so bad, Injustice didn't, and it did something different. It did all the things that I want fighting games to do, which is make an engaging story, make it look good, and have it make enough sense to be fun, and it seems like it does that over a good fighting system. So,
what about, did you ever do Hitman?
I didn't. It does sound really cool.
Yeah.
But
I had started it. I liked where it was going and then just never got back into it. I always feel like I should, but too many other things to play.
Mm-hmm.
Get on your mic. Just don't tell me we're doing a show, Kevin. God damn it. Now it's time for reader mail. This is where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your questions, your concerns, you think you want to talk about. But of course, I need to tell you today is brought to you by Lisa and Omaha Steaks. We've been saying it for a while. Lisa mattresses, you get them online. You don't have to go to the mattress store. I went to the mattress store with Jen. I did not like the mattress store. Mm-hmm. I ordered an online mattress store. I didn't order the store. I ordered an online mattress.
Yeah.
You ordered an online mattress.
I did.
Gary Witta ordered an online mattress. Joey Noel sleeps on a Lisa mattress. Clearly, this is the way of the future, and you should find out why. The Lisa mattress is 100% American-made and delivered compressed in a box to your door. It is thoughtfully crafted with high-quality materials to create what Lisa calls their universal adaptive feel. Its three foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all body shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. You get a 100-night trial, so if you don't like it, they come back for it, and they give you the money back. Mattresses cost thousands of dollars in-store, but Lisa starts at just $525. But you can get $100 off by going to lisa.com/kindoffunny and entering the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. That's LEESA.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny, all one word.
You might not need a mattress right now. I know most people say, I'm like, wow, they're trying to get us to buy mattresses? That seems like such a weird thing. There'll come a day where you're like, I need to buy a mattress. Mm-hmm, and at that moment, think.
Remember this.
Lisa.com/kindoffunny.
And like I said, it's a good holiday gift.
Mm-hmm.
You get the mattress. Your partner gets the mattress. That's great. The cat gets to play in the box. Mm-hmm. The kid gets to see the mattress decompress and think that's awesome.
Bah! Come on.
Speaking of other great holiday gifts, Gregway, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for right now, For $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code KFGames in the search bar. That's 75% off. Extra Life, mm-hmm. We made Omaha Steaks.
Yeah.
I sent my dad Omaha Steaks for Christmas a couple years ago, and I did it again with this code this year. He loved them. He liked them so much, he sent them back to me because he likes them that much. Mm-hmm. Kevin tried to steal all the meat and put it in the freezer, but we digress. That's a different story. Yeah. Omaha Steaks are great. The food's really good.
We've sold so many people on this, and that makes me so happy.
And they all seem happy,
right? Andrew Renee, fucking stoked about it. She was very excited about it.
Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving you this exclusive savings just to you, the listener. Here's what you get for that $49.99. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and you can get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code KFGames in the search bar, and you get 75% off. It's guaranteed to be a hit. First question goes to Javier Bone Riez, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Tim, Kind of Funny Games Daily has finally come to a close in 2017. Looking at all 123 episodes you guys have recorded this year, what are you guys most proud of doing with the show? Also, what are some of your goals and aspirations for the show looking further beyond into 2018? I listen every day, never get bored, parentheses, except when you talk about PUBG. Thank you for all the content. I love you boys and hope to meet you all one day." 123 episodes, Tim.
That's pretty nuts, man.
Yeah, not too bad.
I'm really, really, really proud of this show. I like a lot of the things that we do, but I think that this is a showpiece for us. This mm-hmm. is a show that I'm like, this is when we actually put a lot of love and care into a podcast. A lot of the other podcasts, it's okay, we're sitting around talking, and that's cool, and that's great, and that there's a beauty to that.
And the audience likes it.
And yeah, and that's awesome. But this is special because I feel that we are creating something that adds to a conversation in a real way. We are creating conversations. Like, this is something I look at that if someone that I don't know asked me, like, what do you do? I'd want to point to this and be like, we are experts in what we do in this way. And we share that with people. And it's the same when I say, like, oh, it's ESPN for video games. I feel like this show actually is that. Whereas a lot of our other shows might be like, I don't know, like Fox Sports or something. I don't know sports analogies or ESPN2 or some shit, right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Proud of doing with the show. I mean, the fact that it exists, number one, and the fact that I remember when you originally pitched me the idea of doing a daily gaming show, I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, how would we ever do that? It will kill ourselves.
I was driving home from the office and I was just fucking racking my brain. I'm just like, what if, because I was like, we need to fix the morning show. Like, there's a problem with it. We need it to be better. And I was like, what if we split it into two shows, gaming and non-gaming? And I was like, oh, and I was thinking, like, there's no way Greg would have to be leading the games. That's going to put way too much pressure on him. And right then I called you and like, I heard it in your voice where you were like, oh, this is a great idea. But
And
then next time I saw you, you were so like, we're doing this. This makes so much sense.
It was the thought about it, and it was the idea of, I mean, really bringing in contractors.
Yeah.
Where it was like, when we were like, well, what if we got Andrea and Danny to come in and do it? And it was like, well, that'd be awesome we can't pay them what their market value is. And like, you know, would they understand the added value of doing it? And hitting them both up and then both being like, fuck yeah, we want to do that, and we'd be into it. And then since then, obviously, you know, having Gary Whitta come in and be a part of the show, the guy who wrote Rogue One, having Anthony come in and guest, having the people we're talking to about 2018 and having people cycle in or cycle out. Like, that's been the most interesting. The thing I'm most proud of is when I go out and I talk to people in some like at industry events and people are like, oh, man, you guys are killing it this year. And I love Kind of Funny Games Daily. I listen to it. And that was the craziest part of PSX. The caliber of people who are like, oh, I know, I listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily. I know you. Well, unless you say this to Whit, I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, like Neil Druckmann.
Yeah.
Knew, like, when Andy, who he's never met, was talking to him, Neil Druckmann was like, oh, I recognize your voice.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's been, there's a sense of pride in the fact that Andrea, Danny, Gary, they're not just friends coming in and doing us a solid.
Yeah.
That no, we're actually working with them. And when we started Kind of Funny, you know, we were worried about just making it, period. Let alone, I wasn't thinking along the lines of like, yeah, how can I bring in my friends and peers and people I've respected for years. How am I going to bring them into the fold of this without having them have to give up What's Good Games or give up NoClip or give up whatever their passions are? Like, I don't need to hire everybody to do this. We can hire people piecemeal and do shows, and this is what you're on. It's like, oh, that's really cool. And so to talk to people of like, yeah, they're kind of funny. They're parts of this family. It's crazy.
And I obviously want to give you a huge congratulations, because I feel like at the end of the day, this is the most Greg Miller show possible. This is Greg Miller in its purest essence, as like the professional Greg Miller.
Sure.
Yeah. Not yeah, the fun
not
Greg
the shirtless
Miller.
Screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which there is that other half as well. But this is the IGN Greg Miller.
Yeah.
This is the Greg Miller that put IGN ahead of other people in terms of being the face of video games and being somebody that you know in a post G4 world, right? And I think that there's a reason that this is the most popular daily video game podcast, and that's great.
Yeah.
And you, what you're saying about it's, you are the anchor, and you've created this thing that at this point, anybody that believes they can say something that's worth saying on the show can come in, understand what they need to do, and people will want to listen to it because you made that. And I think that's really fucking cool.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, goals for it, Javier, for next year, continue to kill it, grow it, get more guest hosts in here, have more cycle. I loved having Vic on here. I thought that was a great episode of me, Vic, and Andrea. Like, I had never really thought too much about, hey, let's get a third person in here. We've done it before where, this originally what was supposed to happen is that Widow Wednesday got pushed to Widow Thursday because Vic was going to come in on Wednesday. But then he had to change his schedule. So I got Anthony. There's too many. Andy, Andrea, and Anthony. Really fucking me up today. Got Anthony to come in for Wednesday and then added Vic to Andrea and I's show on Tuesday. And that was a great vibe and a great thing. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like, that'd be cooler to do, to have more people and more voices like that.
And the last thing I really like about this show is I love the set so much. I love the colors. It was me and Eddie were talking. It's like, I was like, we got to do something with green.
Yeah.
Let's make it green. And then he fucking comes up with this shit. It's awesome.
Javier had a PS. He says, Greg, I work for UPS and I constantly load Omaha steak boxes. People really do like it.
There you go. Kindoffunny.com/
There you go.
Oh, no. Omaha. I don't remember what it is.
It's omahasteaks.com/kindoffunny, but they're not paying us for that plug, so don't worry about it. That's just us, again, really liking Omaha Steaks. Tyler Bouchard writes in and says, greetings, Greg and Tim. I'll be quick and to the point. I've been slowly saving money and should have enough to get my first Nintendo console since the N64 within the next month or so. I know, but I need my platinums, and Nintendo kind of sucks in that department. My question is, Which bundle do I get first, he says. Mario or Zelda? I love both these franchises, but I am torn. I need your guys' help. Much love from Missouri, Tyler. Tyler says M-I-Z. I say Z-O-U.
My answer to that is, what is your play style? And looking forward to the next month or so after you get the Switch, how much free time are you going to have and how much time are you dedicating to playing the game? If you are like, I'm looking to binge something, Zelda. Get Zelda, get in that world, do everything you want to do, and then you can walk away and you're fine. Mario is more, there's so much in that game and so much different shit to do. Zelda hits a point where there's a lot more to do, but you kind of realize if you want to keep going or not. Whereas Mario, I'm 500 moons in, and there's still so much shit that I probably haven't even experienced this gimmick or that gimmick or this control style or this level design. Like, there's so much different things being thrown at you. So yeah,
I say Mario. First off, it's my game of the year. I love that game to death, but also because you're asking which bundle to get. I think the red Mario Joy-Cons are beautiful, so much so that that was like the tipping point for like, all right, Jen, you're getting your own Switch. Like, I know you won't use it all that often, but let's go get that and you can have my old Joy-Cons and I'll take these new ones and be happy with that. I think that's part of the equation for me, but you laid out in a very good way in terms of what kind of experience are you looking for right off the bat.
And red sucks, so there's that.
Oh my god,
that works against the Mario bundle.
Don't be an idiot. Don't be a silly idiot. I know you like blue, that's fine, but you hate red.
I hate red.
Really?
It's one of those irrational Tim things, but yeah, I really don't like red.
Okay, I did not know that. You can't go wrong either way, though. So yeah, look at the reviews, take Tim's advice, go from there. Now, Pookie has an interesting question.
Pookie, bring it on.
Pookie writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and has a question that applies to us. Dear Greg and Tim, in light of Dr. Disrespect's video, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on personalities and their obligations to their fans. Of course, the people who deserve the most in terms of apologies and earning trust back are his wife and child. Full stop. If you haven't caught this, yesterday, Dr. Disrespect, and I should say the man who plays Dr. Disrespect, put up a Twitch video, or well, I guess streamed on Twitch and then clipped it out, where he broke down in tears and apologized to his audience and his wife and family. He apparently cheated on his wife. And so this has been, I saw it on Kotaku. I've seen it. A lot of you wrote in for Kinda Funny Games Daily about it. I don't think it's our place really to talk about what he's doing with his personal life. It's his personal life. But this question applies to online personalities more. However, what does he owe fans who supported him and trusted him? He recently won Trending Gamer and would have... He recently won Trending Gamer. Would he have if he had made this announcement earlier? Should he give it back? As fans, do we just flock back to his stream when he returns? As people who have dealt with public blows due to personality differences in the eyes of the viewers, what is the best move moving forward? Thank you for all you do. Pookie. Great question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take it away from Dr. Disrespect, because with all due respect to him, that's funny. I don't consume his content. I don't know anything about him or the situation or anything like that. I mean, the advice for anyone going through online drama, right, is to keep going through it. And that's what you have to do. You ask Pookie, like, what are the obligations for personalities to their fans? For Kinda Funny, we owe you everything. And we don't lose sight of that. And we have conversations with you. And we go on the Reddits. And we try to be active everywhere. And we fail. But we try. We hire Joey this year because we need to be active and have people out there. But it's also what you're selling. I feel like... I don't know, again, anything in Dr. Disrespect's camp. If, and I never would, but if I cheated on Jen, I've made our relationship and my love for her such a part of our shows and such a part of my personality and such a part of Kinda Funny that I would have to address that situation openly and honestly with you, and I would assume I would do a YouTube town hall live stream, talk it out with you, because I would have... I always talk about it. The only thing Kinda Funny has, the only thing Greg Miller has, Tim Geddes has, the only thing all this makes it worth is that we trade in authenticity. And so if we're ever inauthentic, that's a huge problem. And there needs to be a discussion about that. And we need to know what's happened and why it's happened, all these different things. And it's similar if you want to go way back before I had any knowledge or personalities or influence or any of that shit. But like when I got divorced originally, right, at IGN way back in the 2008-9, I remember I talked it out on GameScoop with Damon when it was just me and him in a room, and I cried, not because of the divorce, but because of how much you guys had helped me get through and all this stuff. And that again is because we had done a GameScoop from my wedding. Like, it'd be weird if all of a sudden I was like, I'm not married, and never mentioned it and never cut that off. And like, people need their privacy. People need to deal with it on their own. But if you're going to put that out as an online personality, that this is who I am, it needs to be answered for. And then for you as a fan, how do you handle that? You have to decide. Yeah. You have to see how these people handle it and if you flock back or if you don't or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I really think you nailed it. I think that, you know, we, with this whole like best friend thing, it's like that's what we're putting out there.
Yeah.
And that is how we deal with stuff. So when it comes to how we deal with things, a lot of times I deal with it the same way I would deal with my friends that I know, my real friends, for lack of a better term,
yeah,
like people that I grew up with, my real life friends. Yeah. And when something bad happens, like, I don't tell everyone everything. Right. So I don't think the transparency means everyone needs to know everything. But I think the transparency is being real and authentic and authentically communicating the way that you would to a friend.
Right.
Right. And that's something that we sell. And
yeah,
so I feel like there's rules that we set, and you just got to follow your own rules. In terms of, do we flock back to them and whatever, that is up to you. Like, I personally, especially with all the shit that's been going on the last couple months and how horrible all of it is, like, I like the whole cheating is the next wave of it, where in my heart, cheating is on anybody, but cheating especially on your family. Like, if you, the moment you're married, the moment you have a kid, there's promises made and you are wronging people. And I take real offense to that. I hate that shit. Having said that, I've had to deal with many people I look up to going through situations where they did cheat. And in all of them, it's not like they came forth and admitted it. They got caught and then it's a problem.
Yeah.
There's so many layers to that where it's like, who am I to judge? It's like, well, I'm allowed to judge. I consume what you do. I like you for this reason.
Yeah,
that
why
reason.
Do you like them?
Exactly.
Right?
The and thing. Then so then it turns into this. There's a lot of thinking. And I've really spent a lot of my time questioning why. Questioning, can you forgive this? Can you forgive that? Should you? Does it change? And I'm like, my answer is it does change. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
How you go forward with that, that's up to you. I think that the way Dr. Disrespect handled this is fantastic. I think what he did is absolutely atrocious. Does that affect him and Trending Gamer? I don't think so.
Oh, no. Like, I didn't even... I'm sorry. I read that part, but I... No. Like, that's done. And I've seen people tweet at me and include things that are just like, oh, the award's cursed, which I'm like, no, it's not what you're talking about. But that doesn't make any sense. But then also just like the thing of like, somebody tweeted in jest about this whole situation. Just like, oh, man, they should just give it back to Greg in this category. I'm like, guys, this doesn't reflect at all on that or anything like this. I mean... What are we talking about? Like, it's the video game awards. He won an award for being a character, and now he's being a human being. So, whatever. Yeah. That's more for his fan base to decide and how they want to do it.
Absolutely. Just be good to people. I really, that's the message of this whole thing. And, like, when people are in drama, it's so difficult. Like, Dr. Disrespect, not to pity him or give him sympathy or whatever. He's probably going through such a hard time right now having to deal with all this shit. And it's just like, let's not add more bullshit on top of that.
And that's why,
that.
Like, I didn't really consider it, but like when I saw it on Kotaku's front page this morning, I was like, oh yeah, no, it's not a Roper Report story, and kept moving because it's not our place. But I feel like this comment bringing to online personality and how you deal with that kind of thing is different.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Mikey Van Yelsing writes in and says, do you think there's a shrinking window for Nintendo for when Nintendo can effectively add an achievement system to Nintendo Switch? I'm holding on to hope that it may come with their online service. All right. Have a hunger to 100% Zelda, but I have an irrational fear that as soon as I pop that 900th Korok seed, Nintendo will open up achievements. Thanks for the daily dose of news and thoughts. I feel like that window's closed. It's over. Let it go.
Here's my thing.
Move on.
I don't think the window's closed. I don't think it's happening based on conversations we've had with people at Nintendo. Doesn't sound like it's in the plan. That doesn't mean anything because those same people that I've talked to have led me astray.
Oh man, nothing's gonna happen multiple times. Year.
No Metroid and then Metroid. Yeah, yeah. Having said that, I do think that the window isn't shrinking. It's just I don't think that that's a priority to them. I think that I wouldn't say no until the online system is put out there. I think that there's obviously a lot that's gonna be it. The fact that we haven't heard about Virtual Console yet, and like there's no way Virtual Console doesn't exist in some form. There's absolutely no way. So this is the type of thing that I wouldn't give it to Nintendo as a, oh, it's definitely there. But I also wouldn't be like, there's no chance. It took PS4 a while to get trophies.
PS3.
Yeah, a while to get trophies. And, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 coming out. I remember being like, if there was trophies in that, it would have incentivized me to play it differently.
Yeah.
And there weren't. Then later they were patched in.
Yep.
Is that correct? Didn't
took forever. But
didn't get me to go back, but I'm not that type of guy.
Yeah.
I would love for Nintendo to have some type of achievement system.
I just feel like it's gone. And honestly, this is something I know that's more of a... Not even, I guess. For Nintendo games to have an achievement trophy whatever system, and stick with me because I know this is... I'm bringing an idea from a mobile game over... I really enjoy all the rewards I get in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, where it is like, all right, cool. It's literally what we're talking about. All right, if you talk to 4 villagers today, you get 20 leaf tickets or whatever. All right, great. And then there is my Nintendo IDs tied to it, and it's going there, and it's like, there's challenges there that give me my Nintendo currency that I can then spend on, like, resources I need, or, you know, more leaf tickets or shit like that. That has totally made me play the game differently, where I'm like, I don't want to, oh, well, I just got to do this. Or I should build these, or I just got to put these things down. I would rather Nintendo lean into that in terms of some kind of, hey, do all these things and you're going to unlock this new thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Nintendo, in my opinion, are the king of reward systems with like achievements that aren't achievements. Like you look back at Smash Brothers, even like Smash Melee, like having trophies in them. And it was a trophy system within the game. All the Smash Bros. Games since have had excellent systems like that. Mario Odyssey and Zelda, I think, are perfect examples of, every time you get something, it just rewards you with something new. Like, there's an actual thing, not just a little JPEG that makes you feel good about yourself, right? So I feel like within each game, it feels good. But it would be nice if there was some type of overarching system there. And I just think that, like, at the end of the day, we're so early in the Switch's lifespan.
Sure.
It's been 1 year. So if they were to come out with it, I don't even think it's too late in 2019, early 2019.
I just feel like
here's some new things to shake shit up and keep things interesting.
They've done the whole, we're marching to our own beat. This is who we are. And it's gone so well that I think even if there were people inside, like, maybe we should have a cheat. Now they're like, well, who the fuck cares? You know what I mean? We've moved 10 million units. Everything's great. And I don't, that since the lead up to announcement and then the lead up to launch is when you really heard people saying, oh man, I wish there was the trophies, blah, blah. When I'm playing Mario, when I'm playing Zelda, when I'm playing Kart, I'm not thinking that. In Kart, I'm totally,
but if they,
like,
were there, you would. And I think that's the thing. Is like, I don't think they need them, but I think that it would add a dimension. And in the same way, it's like Virtual Console, there was a lot of talk about it, and then it kind of stopped. That's because they're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. If it was there, people would be talking. If it was there, Nintendo would design their games differently, and I think it would be a good thing. But that's, I think, speaking a little too early. Like, yesterday we were talking, I think, off camera, but will there be another Mario Kart on Switch? Mm-hmm. And so, there definitely will be. They need something new for that. So this could be that. This could be a thing for the next wave of Switch games.
Interesting.
And again, I'm just being super devil's advocate to this because, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think it is impossible.
Okay. Ralph from Chicago writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with net neutrality safeguards removed recently, not officially correct. They voted, but there's still a whole challenge going on. It's not like it's all over right away. How do you think this will affect the trends of increasing digitally downloaded games? Will it create a resurgence of physical games, or is the digital game trend inevitable regardless? The second prong of my question is whether or not we see immediate changes from internet providers within this coming year, or if it's a death by a thousand cuts kind of situation. Thanks for all you do, Ralph from Chicago. P.S. Just want to note how great of a year Kind of Funny is having. Thank you. We like that.
Thank you very much. I think it's death by a thousand cuts. I think it's going to take many years for this to take form, to reach its truest form. And I think that by the time that all happens, everyone will just be used to
so
the
numb
changes.
To it.
So numb, yeah. And that's just like, it is what it is. You look at cell phones and how they gouge prices here and there. And then they give you, the 2-year subsidiary plan to buy your phone. And then they change that and everyone bitches and complains. And then it's like, I guess we're all doing the upgrade program now. Like, these things happen. Technology changes. It fucking sucks. I hate this, and I really hope that it does get repealed. I hope that there's so many steps for net neutrality not existing to get really
exactly,
bad.
Exactly, yeah.
But those steps, it's going to snowball, and that's the problem with it. It's like, right now, it feels a little safe to be like, we're far from that still. It's like, not really, because the moment that the court says we're good with this,
and that's the thing, right?
Then it's on Comcast to be like, it's like, well, Comcast won't fuck us until they fuck us, and it's like, well, they're gonna fuck us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no chance that they're like, we're gonna be the good guys here.
Yeah, yeah, with the amount of states, I saw a tweet going around, but it's also just a tweet. But like, these are the states who have filed a lawsuit, yep. And it's like, all right, that's great, and I want that.
And then
like,
there's that stuff as well.
Yeah,
but that muckies up the waters when it comes to the internet being equal across America, at the very least. Like, you know, there's already all the problems with like China and everything, where there is situations going on that, I don't know, it's going to be a very different world, and we won't know how it affects us until it actually does.
And that's the thing, Ralph, is that, yeah, we don't know what the death of net neutrality will actually do for games and digital downloads and this. Witt and I were joking around it yesterday of like, okay, well, you know, would this lead to the rise of like, I don't want to pay for Netflix and Amazon. So now is there now a market again for Blockbuster Video or a video company like that, where I'm going to go get a physical media and come back? Am I going to buy more physical stuff?
People just pay more.
Yeah.
Like that's that. People speak with their wallets, and these people understand that, and they know they can get away with it. And it's sad and it's shitty, but it's just, that's the reality of it.
Resist, as the kids say on the internet. We'll see, Ralph. Scary times, but we'll all get through it together with Kevin Coelho and the Kegerator. Nathan C. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what games are you guys looking forward to playing during your holiday break? Love you all, and thanks for a fantastic year of content. Tim, lay them on me.
Nier Automata.
Ooh.
Injustice.
Yeah.
And a lot more Mario.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is...
And I want to say in that order, but if I'm being honest... Mario. It's hard to feel myself... Well, I just got to the Darker Side of the Moon, and I'm like... It's hard, but I'm like, I know I can beat it.
I want to do it. I'm excited for it.
So, are you there yet?
I don't think so, because I got to the dark side of the moon, right? But then there's the darker
side. 500.
Yeah, I forget. I put it down the other. I try to only play Mario now when I travel.
And so that's my problem, is like, I'm trying to tell myself, like, just save this. Just savor it forever. But I also, you know.
My plan is, I'm taking off on the road, but this weekend, do a lot of PUBG on Xbox One.
I'll throw some of that in there.
You know what's been getting its claws? I'm gonna let it simmer and not worry about it. You know what? Something's simmering and getting its claws in me, but I'll talk about it later. This weekend, probably do some PUBG, probably do a little bit of Destiny, run around and have some more fun. Then we take off Monday, so it'll be the Switch only for that entire time. I thought about bringing a PlayStation 4. I'm like, I just can't. But Switch for like a week for Mario. When I come back, right now there's a little ember burning inside me.
Don't even say it.
It's not DC. It's not DC.
I thought you were going to say something that rhymes with Persona 9.
No. I'm not going to. Persona is gone.
Okay.
There's a little ember inside me to play Valkyria Chronicles Remastered. Because when that dropped finally on PlayStation 4, I started it. And I love Valkyria Chronicles. You know what I mean? And I played a little bit of it. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I wasn't in the mood for it. And at PSX, I was talking to fans and I was like talking about Valkyria and talking about Valkyria 2. And then it was like, oh, you're right. We're getting Valkyria 4 next year. Holy shit. And it was like that thing of like, fuck, I really want to play Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I'll actually do when I
you
come
back. You
probably
shouldn't, though. Like what you've been talking about.
I want the fire to burn.
The fire still burns. The soul still burns.
So yeah, PUBG is that. Destiny for me. I'm sure I'll get some Friday 13th in there. Stuff like that. Mario.
The new Eminem album came out today. I recommend everybody, instead of listening to that, go find the song Hellbound by Eminem. It samples Soul Calibur, and it's fantastic. Right. One of my favorite Eminem songs.
The Joe writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was taken off Netflix mid-binge last week, and that was a terrible experience. No question, just popping in. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Did I get you two? Did I get you two there, Kev? You looking for some of that Always Sunny?
I love Always Sunny, and it's one of my shows that I randomly go to
when
I'm just like, I can't find anything else to watch. It sucks.
The final piece of reader mail from kindoffunny.com/KFGD 4/2017 is from Dan Wilkinson. Dear Greg and Tim and all of those who have helped shape Kinda Funny Games Daily, congratulations. I've been with you guys since pre-Beyond 200, and Kinda Funny Games Daily has become my daily must-have content. You have resurrected a structure for delivering video game news with hysterical banter from lovable, passionate hosts for an ever-supportive community as an audience. Kinda Funny Games Daily means so much to me, and 2018 has me increasingly excited for the future of the show. I want to thank you all for taking me back to a time where I would listen to my best friends talk about my favorite passion and hobby. I never thought it would be the same. I'm glad to say I feel it's better. Kinda Funny is a movement, and Games Daily is an essential component. Congratulations, Greg, for your vision and hard work, and to all the team for helping make that vision a success. No matter what, I'll be here for the ride and to support all of you, all that you do. From my best friend, Dan Wilkinson.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you all, like I said, for supporting this show and Kinda Funny throughout 2017. Big things in store for 2018. Nick and I said we'll be back on January 2nd. I don't know if we were trying to hide that. We'll be back on January 2nd on doing stuff. Right, Tim?
Yes, January 2nd.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Nick wasn't sure if we're hiding that or if we announced that. Mm-hmm. January 2nd, we'll be back in 2018 with content. For now, though, let's squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and what game you need help in. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. You guys continue to be the best community on the internet and have fun together. What's happening with your phone? You're wrong.
I'm a profesh.
Steve Saylor writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. He needs help on Xbox. His username, BlindGamerSteve, all spelled the way to expect. Hello, Greg and Tim. Listening since episode one and love what you do. I'm hungry and in need of best friends to join me in my quest for that chicken dinner. It was my birthday on Wednesday and I received an Xbox One S along with PUBG. I am a legally blind gamer and suck at video games. I laugh at myself at how bad I am when I get killed 50 times, but yell glorious victory when I get that one kill in. It's a win-win scenario. If I win, that's pretty good for a blind guy. If I lose, it's still pretty good for a blind guy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Look no further than my YouTube channel for proof of this fact. My Xbox gamer tag is Blind Gamer Steve. Looking forward to playing with all of you, and I hope I don't drag our squad down too much. Thanks, Kinda Funny crew, for the amazing content. Happy holidays. Best friend and Patreon supporter, Steve Saylor. His username, once again, Blind Gamer Steve.
My dude.
I like that one quite a bit.
My man.
Everybody go see Justice League. Tim?
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, telling us what we screwed up as we screwed it up. Mm-hmm. What do we screw up today?
Capitalist Pig says Call of Duty World War II launched 2 weeks before Battlefront 2, not 1 week like was mentioned. World War II was released on November 3rd with Battlefront 2 coming out on November 17th. He also says, according to Ultimate Chicken Horse's official website, the game came out earlier this week on PS4, the 12th, not a few weeks back.
It was very confusing.
Lucid Dream says, Tim said so much different level designs when he should have said so many different level designs.
All right. We don't need that kind of correction.
That was it.
Oh, not bad. Not bad for the end of the year. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. We'll be back January 2nd with somebody. I don't know who. We'll figure that out long away from me. And maybe January 2nd You know what? I won't get
we'll figure it out.
We'll promote it all when we know. Remember, Kind of Funny Games Daily is your place for nerdy video game news each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, including twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and podcast services around the globe. Even though we're taking 2 weeks off, Kind of Funny as a whole isn't. The Game Over Greggy Show, Kind of Funny Games Cast, and Party Mode will all post as per usual. So go with those. Subscribe on Patreon.
In addition to that, there'll be some other content too, including the final episode of Kind of Funny, the animated series.
Ay, Dios mío.
That's a little Easter egg.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.